Good morning, all. Right, before I start, I'd like to welcome Anne, as she missed my first testimony. So my first testimony was edited version. Today I'm giving the unedited version, what had happened. Right. So I came all the way from Fiji. I've been here since 2007, when I came first to New Zealand. And my first posting was done in Plymouth. So I was here for 6 years working for an electrical company as an electrician. And then after that, 6 years of my time spent here in Plymouth, I went up to Auckland. And I was employed by a power company and was part of a Vector group. And was doing it as a trainer and auditing the team. Therefore, this is where the thing was started. I was not born Christian or following Lord any time. For 37 years, I was doing all these idol worships, following our own religion. And when I was in Auckland, this is where the story begins. I was doing a power metering stuff, doing the line connection of the meters, and I went to this guy's place in Papakura, and he had some issues with his power things. And then he said to me, this electrician who actually did the job has ripped him off. He tried to do something there and then connected the cables, which were not to the standard of New Zealand. So when I went to reconnect things, and I said, hey, this is not the way we go forward. So he said to me, what shall we do now? And I said, you need to apply to your power company, who's a network. At the time, it was County's Power. And then I said, you go and work with them. So he went there, and they charged him around $1,900 to do that stuff. So then I said, it's pretty unfair for him to pay $1,900 because it's not right. It's not his fault. It's the electrician's fault who has dealt with. So then I stepped into his work. I went to his place and I said, hey, listen, mate, you're not supposed to pay this money, and I'll help you whatever I can. And he said, okay. So it happened all, but then he has to pay only the administration cost, which was $300. So we went there and I turned the power on, and fortunately that guy was a believer, and that's where this whole story comes in. So I was standing at his house, in this house, and he said, I'll pray for you. I said, okay. So he prayed for me. And at that time, I had a problem in my family. Actually, the family problem was coming on, but I was not trying to tell anyone or speak to it. But then something was coming into me to tell this guy what you are going through. So I was telling him, listen, mate, I have some issues, the family going on, and what am I supposed to do? He said, everything will be fine, mate. Just relax. Pray to God. And that's where he said to me, read Psalm 91 and Isaiah 54, chapter 17, verse 17, rather. So that's where the only two verses I knew, all through. And every day, I just read those two verses, those two chapters. And eventually, things were changing in my life. But I was still praying, following the religion which I come from. I was still following that and also praying this one. Because it's one thing really common in our culture. Is like culture is very strong. And if you're staying in a family and you're doing something different from what the family members are doing, it has a huge impact on me, you know. And I was just—they're doing the prayers and they're trying to involve me, but sometimes I try to like sneak out of the house, you know, just before they start doing the praying. I just make up things like I have to call out, going here and there, but can't escape every day. So things were just moving on. I had this like in November last 2017 November. I was doing all these things, and coming to church, like wearing just a normal T-shirts, like, you know, and going to the church. So nobody knows that I'm at my family, that I'm going to church. And I used to go to, before I used to go to in Fiji Indian church, rather, where the people all are from Fiji, and they're Indians. I went to the church for the first time. And something that really annoyed me over there was when I went there, I don't know whether you guys have a feeling or not, but this is my personal, I'm telling you. As soon as you enter the church or any sacred place, you feel something there, that something is bringing you there, or it's not right for you. So I went to the church, and I was looking at the people, because I know most of the people, because I'm from Fiji as well, so they were trying to talk to me, and I can hear something someone's saying to the minister, the pastor, that we have converted a person from his religion to Christian. And I was like, what? You converted me? Or God has picked me? So something, I was wondering what to say. Then I stopped coming to church. And since then, I never went to church. But something I'm going to tell you about this Brooklands church later on. So I didn't go to the church. And then I was praying, coming to this brother whom I did the work for, with a bit of fellowship. And then I was engaged more. I was more coming to know about the Lord. And then he was only telling me to read only these two chapters. Don't go anything anywhere else. I said, okay. And someone from the Indian church actually told my family that Ajay is coming to the church. So the trauma begins there. So everyone was like, why? What's wrong with our religion? What's wrong with our God? I said, there's nothing wrong with your God, nothing wrong with my God, but it's just a faith. And anybody can have faith, but only if God's grace is there, then only you can have faith. And God's grace only comes to you when you have love to each other. You cannot say that you have a faith in your Lord if you don't love your brother or your enemies. You can't have that. So one thing you need to know, everyone needs to know, that always the faith comes through the grace of God. And this guy was preaching me, so fellowshipping me. And my family has actually just told me straight up that, hey, we're not with you if you're following Jesus Christ. So I took my stand and I said, whatever you guys say, you can do whatever you guys do. I'll support you guys, but let me do what I'm doing. Still, nothing was working. So for a month, I was just neglected, like kind of staying under the same roof, but hardly can talk to anyone because no one wants to talk to me. And I was like a bit of feeling, because I don't have any family, close family members here in New Zealand. So I can't actually tell anyone what I'm facing through or going through. So I went back to this brother and told him, listen, mate, this is what is happening in my life. So he gave me another chapter to read. And he gave me the book of Joshua to read. So he gave me that. He said, read this. And I said, okay. He said, only thing he used to say to me, don't worry. Don't think about those things. Just move forward. But, you know, when you try to get something, I want to see the results overnight. Because I said to him, if you say that your Lord is living, working, miracle, good, why can't I see any results? And he said, just have patience, mate. You'll have this. I said, okay. So I believe in his words. And situations didn't work well. It just became worse. And day by day, things were not in favor of me. And I went to the family members, so much pressure was on me that either you have to look after, you have to be with the families, or you go by yourself. So I said, okay. Took a decision to go by myself. And it was a very hard decision for me. But then I stand here in front of you to say that Lord has actually given me that way. And I was watching some messages past few weeks where it says, in faith of Abraham, that you leave your families and move from Haran to Canaan. So I have to leave my families, but I didn't know about the verse before, actually, what it was all about. And then I told my brother, there's a situation. So he said, can I come to your home? I said, yes, anytime. So he came to my place, and he talked to my families, but the families were like, no, this is not in our culture, and this is not in our religion, so basically it's not right. So he didn't say much, but he said, well, let him do what he wants to do, but again, nothing was working out. So the pressure was so high. In the end of the month, in May, the last Sunday, I just took baptism, given my life to Lord, 2018. So as soon as I given my life to Lord on that day, on Sunday, when I came back home, you imagine how the situation was at that time. It's like, and I was wondering, okay, what shall I do now? So I was just praying, and I said, Lord, I was accepted you in my life. What is happening? So Monday I went to work, Tuesday I went to work, and it was kind of like nothing was working with me. And this is the turnover of my life. On Sunday, that Sunday, I went to work in the morning, and I was wondering what to do. Lord, I've taken you into my life now. What's next? Nothing was coming in my life. Just something was being here to say, just end your life. I said, okay, that's the way. Everybody will be happy then. So I went to Chakanini, Mighty Chain, and bought weed killer. So I bought that weed killer, and I just put my van, and I was driving around, walking, and at 5:30, 6 p.m., it was getting dark. I was driving back home. It was all dark. So I went to the park, children's park. I went there, parked my van, and I was talking to myself, what is next? What am I supposed to do here? And I said, okay, no one is talking to me. Let's see. Finish off. Got out of the van, took this bottle and cap, and I was standing, looking at the sky, and said to Lord, Lord, this is your way. You wanted this to happen, let's see. So I drank that weed killer. I drank that weed killer, and I came home. Didn't tell anyone. So I went to have my shower. After that, had my tea. And as soon as I had my tea, I started vomiting. And still no one knows what was happening. And I was not telling anyone. So they were confused what was happening, because everything I vomited was coming in a jelly form. So they called an ambulance, and ambulance arrived, took me to the hospital, Middlemore. And doctors, they were quite unclear what was happening. And they were doing my blood test since 3 o'clock in the morning. They couldn't find out any results whatsoever. And I was not telling them what was going on or what did I do. So, because my ex-wife was staying there with me, and I was not trying to tell in front of what I have done. So 3:30, the final visit for the doctors came to my room and he said, "We can't find any problem. What has happened to you? Tell me, what you have eaten? What did you have for dinner?" Then I said to him, I wanted to say to him, I said, "Doctor, I've just drank wheat color." The moment I told him, everything changed. All the security guards were there. Surround my bed, all the security guards were there, and I was like, okay, I shouldn't be telling this, but, well, doctors told my wife to get out from here. It's a bit of a serious case now. So I was thinking, well, the one is there, Lord, it's yours. Take me. The next morning, I was unable to talk. Something was holding in my vocal, like I couldn't able to speak. And I was thinking like, well, this is the end of me. And my uncle, who's my only family who is here, rather, he came to visit me. And he was start talking to me, but I was unable to say, relay any message to him what happened. And he said, "What is the last wish, if you want to say or something, tell me. Nothing going to improve in you." So he gave me a piece of paper, and he said, "Right here, what do you want to say?" The only thing I wrote him is my brother's, the guy who fellowshipped me, his name and his contact number. I said, "Just call him." So he called him and he said, "This is what the situation is, mate. Come to the hospital. He said, this room number, level, this and that." So him and his wife came. And he came to my bed and he just looked at me. And I was crying. Basically, when I looked at him, I was crying. My tears were just going, that's uncontrolled. And he held my hands and he said, "Ajesh, this is your new life." And I looked at him and he said, "This is your new life. Believe me." So everybody was standing there. And this day, my family said to me, my wife said to me, "I'm not longer staying with him anymore. He's dead for me." So the brother said to me, "Just don't worry. This is your life, new life going on." And at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I start talking. Still, doctors can't prove me that I had drank poison. 4 o'clock, they discharged me. But they knew the situation was not really helpful at my place, so they took me to the rehabilitation center. I was there for a few days and just relayed the message to my work that I'm unable to come to work, situation is this and that. They gave me 2 weeks of leave. They said, stay home. So this is where Lord has come into my life. I was saved. Nothing happened to me. And doctors couldn't prove it. And within the two weeks when I was staying at my home, on my leave actually, the company called me again and said, "Ajesh, we want to send you to Wellington just for few weeks to go and do and get some training done there or give some training to the electricians there." I said, "I don't mind." So they flew me to Wellington and I was working there for 2 weeks. And after that, they said, "You're going back to Plymouth for a week and then you're coming back to Auckland." I said, "Okay." So after completing the 2 weeks, I came to Plymouth. And 14th was the day that I came to Plymouth as well last year. So something has been done in the date of 14th. So I came into Plymouth. And on Monday, when I went to work, the electrician here in Plymouth with that company has resigned. So the call came to me at 8:30, "Ajesh, you're not leaving Plymouth, you're staying there permanently." So this was a blessing for me. And the only thing, when I moved out of my house, when I had the pressure that was on my families, I didn't take anything away from my home. The only thing I took was my clothes out of my house, and that's it. When I came to Plymouth, God's glory was there. Wherever I went, the company put me a house on Devon Street. And I got the keys for that house, but I thought, like, where am I going to sleep? What am I going to do here? Because I don't have anything. I only have clothes. I opened the door. It was fully finished. Was fully finished house. Nothing I have to buy. I said, okay. There you go. Stayed there for a few months. And the owners were renovating the house. And some vandalism went there as well. So then the company moved to the Coronation Court Motel here. And it's also a fully finished studio home. Amazing. So that was what was happening all the time. And my brother was always fellowshipping me. This is what is happening on. This is what is going on. I always keep in touch with him. And I like to thank him at this time, Brother Charles, who is in Auckland, who tried to guide me and gave me the way, the path that showed me, believe the Lord. And when I was in Devon Street, likewise, I say, I don't know any scriptures or anything in the Bible. And I was sleeping one day. I was praying, crying. I don't know what to say. I was just normal talking to Lord, Lord, where are you? Kind of like everyday conversation when I was going to work. What I'm doing, what can you, how you can help me? So one morning, I don't know if this was coming on, but one morning I was sleeping and then I'm kind of like just waking up, and something was just came and said to me, when God is not listening or he's not saying anything to you, he's working on you. And that day, it was also 14th, and that day I met Neely. So that's the way it was going on. And then when Neely came here in April during Easter weekend, I was not going to any churches, like I say, because I was a bit disturbed. As soon as you go to the church, you can feel whether it's right for you or you don't feel going to church. But one, we were sitting at a place on the Palm Sunday, we're trying to Google which is the nearest church to go to. And from Coronation Court, it was just picked up. Brooklands Church, 2.4 kilometers away. Or 2.4 minutes, something like that. So he said, okay, we go there. One thing I like to say to Brooklands Church, we came here, we talked about, like Neely and myself were talking, that something is here that makes us come, like, I don't actually miss Sundays here. Something is there that makes me to come to church. And I know that God's grace is here, and you guys are so humble. So welcoming. Something is in you guys that when I'm here, when I'm coming to this church, I can see how you guys welcome me and how we all are connected to each other, which is great. And you don't feel like, okay, this is not my church, but now this is like my church. So that's the thing, that's the greatest thing I had in my life, that I was never going to church, but since I came to church, I never regretted this. Hey, this is not my church, but you guys are so overwhelming, so much of humble you guys have. I'm so blessed to be here. And also like to thank, when I first came to here, I like to thank, and she actually guided me. My first testimony was when I was giving, she has to leave. And today, she's back here. I'd like to thank you. And again, Paul has helped me as well. I like guiding the way and now talking to me. And also I'd like to, because now I've enrolled in a group Bible study, I'd like to thank Chris. So he's my master now. So we're in a group like Bible study, my mate there as well. So we're all in a group here. And this is how God has stepped into my life. And this is how he has came to my life to say, hey, this is the way. So I hope you have enjoyed listening to the whole version.